Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, February 1st, 2024. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Matt Giovannisi of Brew Cabin and Josh Secor of Gambit Brewing helped me formulate a recipe for a grapefruit soda shandy. Or is it a Radler? We'll also taste Matt's gingerbread wit, which came out of the discussion last time we were together. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And many thanks to everybody who's helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters, this week we'll see an early release of the video that Steve Wilkes and I shot about his small batch old school pale ale. Sometimes you got to go back to basics to brew a solid and delicious favorite, and that's what this beer is. I'd suppose you'd call it a British-style pale ale because it was brewed with Maris Otter, Northern Brewer hops, and Nottingham yeast. Sounds British to me. Steve used the tried-and-true hopping strategy that we relied on when we first started home brewing, and it still works. Nothing fancy, just downright drinkable. Financial supporters will see that episode before the general public, and will also get the recipe in their inboxes. Again, many thanks to everybody who's continuing to support us in that way. I hope you made it through January, whether you did it dry, damp, moist, or just full-on wet. I know breweries are glad to see foamy February back. I applaud those who use the time to step back a bit and take some inventory of their lives and habits and such. I scaled back a bit on my consumption myself and dropped a handful of holiday pounds. The beer that Matt and Josh and I formulate in this episode that you're about to hear is in the keg already. It's an extract beer with a bunch of hops. To be truthful, I screwed up in a couple of ways, but I was able to recover. And I produced what I think it's a really good beer. I mean, it's only been in the keg a day, but already it's very tasty. You know, the little sample that you taste like the day after you keg a beer. And it's like, oh, I wonder how it's, you know, and you blow the plug of yeast out of the thing and then you taste it. And it's like, well, it's actually pretty good. Now, I screwed up. I brewed a beer that was too high in gravity. I had to dilute it. And then I forgot to do a certain procedure, and so I recovered that by doing it in the keg instead of at the end of the boil. Anyway, what I didn't screw up on was the yeast that I used for that beer. I used the current featured yeast from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Yeast, L25 Huga. Now, L25 Huga is a Northern European lager strain known for being used in hop-forward lagers. But I pitched and fermented this beer with Huga at ale temperature, and it worked very well. The beer started out around 1050. I didn't make a starter, and I kegged the beer 7 days after pitching the yeast. And it's very clean. And I'm not surprised. As you know, my stir plate is dusty because I don't use it anymore to make starters for moderate gravity 5-gallon ale batches, and including this one. Thanks to those 200 billion cells in each easy-to-open package of Imperial yeast. And with a recommended shelf life of up to 4 months, you can pick up multiple packs when you're stocking up and be confident that they'll be ready to go when you are. Ask your local homebrew store about L25 Huga from Imperial Yeast and check out all the dependable deliciousness at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com. Okay, in this recipe formulation episode, I kind of threw a curveball to Matt Giovannisi of Brew Cabin and Josh Secor of Gambit Brewing in St. Paul. I wanted to do a very quick and tasty hoppy extract beer to serve as a base for a shandy or a radler, but I only wanted to boil for 15 minutes. But before we tackle that recipe, we sampled Matt's delicious holiday/winter beer from last time. Matt Giovannisi, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And joining us again from Gambit Brewing Company in St. Paul, Minnesota, Josh Secor. Welcome back, Josh.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back.
I was so worried about mispronouncing your last name, I mispronounced your first name.
Hey, One of these days we'll get there.
I'm working with Giovannisi and
Secor. Yeah, sorry.
So, oh, well, welcome back, guys. We're here to talk. Last time we got together, we tasted our Kentucky Commons, Josh's mm-hmm. and mine,
yeah.
And we talked about formulating a recipe or got a strategy for formulating a recipe for a winter/holiday ale that, Matt, you have brewed. So, mm-hmm. and we actually have that with us here. It looks beautiful. We poured it out of the can so we could take our little glamour shot. While Josh and I sip on this beer, why don't you talk about, you know, kind of the thoughts going behind this beer and how you arrived at where you arrived and what do we got?
Sure. So Gingerbread Wit was obviously a holiday inspiration. Trying not to do any barley wine or heavy beers, heavy stouts that, you know, normally go with the holidays. But this time I wanted something light. So we decided to focus on I just went and listed out a bunch of foods, you know, that were related to the holiday, and gingerbread houses were one of them, and gingerbread in general. And so I thought it would be a good idea to do a wit beer because you already have the clove that comes with the yeast character. So that adds that. And so for this recipe, we basically did half and half Pilsner and white wheat malt, and then some flaked oats for some body, and then a little touch of honey malt, which is why I think it's the color it is. And then from there, we just did Cascade in the boil and at the end. So an ounce of Cascade at 60 minutes and 2 ounces of Cascade at flame out. I used Imperial Yeast B44 Whiteout. And so that's just the base beer itself. Nothing crazy. I did water chemistry to kind of mimic a New England IPA style, a hazy IPA style. So I did 10 grams of calcium chloride, a gram of salt, 3 grams of Epsom, and 3 grams of gypsum with some lactic acid for my system to kind of hit the mash pH. And then at flame out, I added a whopping 6 oranges worth of zest. So I zested those finely with a zester and had that. Added that. I added a full ounce of coriander seed that were crushed and dry toasted in my pan. I added, I think it was like an entire hand of ginger. Mm. So I just, for that, I just sliced up into little coins and added it to the flame out. I also added a vanilla bean split. I also added an ounce of allspice berries. I didn't crush them. I just added them in because I didn't know what it was going to do. And then I let the yeast kind of take care of the clove flavor. And I fermented that at 150 for an hour and kind of moved it. It actually fermented pretty quickly and got it in the keg. And one of the things that I did, a little secret that I did, was I added in the keg with some vodka. I just soaked another vanilla bean and I soaked some more cinnamon sticks. Oh, by the way, I added cinnamon sticks. Forgot that. 6 of them. Added 6 cinnamon sticks to the flame out and then about like 3 or 4 to the keg itself. And yeah, so I added those to anything else. Oh, no, you know what I did?
What else is in the pantry?
Yeah, I didn't use vodka. I didn't soak it in vodka. I soaked it in a ginger liqueur. And just enough to cover it, so like not a lot. And then I put it in a satchel, like a little muslin bag, and then stuck it in the keg and then filled on or racked on top of that. And so that's it.
Holy smokes.
That's it, huh?
That's
is that all?
Yeah.
So just the basics. Wow.
So yeah.
Well, it's boy. You would think, you know, it sounds like a train wreck. It sounds like a mess, frankly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste like it.
It doesn't at all. The ginger character, I think it's about perfect for what I would have envisioned.
Yeah, as I was taking taking the sip, you said gingerbread. And I think you nailed it. I think I don't know if it's the vanilla in the in there that gives you the actual taste of the bread, you
Yeah,
know.
the cookie flavor.
Yeah. But it tastes, you know, the spices are right on, they're not too much. But it does taste like gingerbread. And it's I would if I had my eyes closed, I think that I would have thought that it was a darker beer. Because maybe because of the presence of the vanilla.
Yeah, when I first poured it, I was like, oh God, no. I'm like, this is it's too much for me. But I had a party, a Christmas party, mid December, and no one drank a full pint of it, I'll say, but everyone liked it. And I was like the only one who was like, okay. And I like, you know, after a few beers, I went back to it. I was like, all right, I get it. You know, do I want to drink a whole pint of it? Personally, no, but that was I was g sort of going for novelty in this particular batch.
So, Josh, what do you think? What's your professional opinion?
Well, professionally speaking, I think it's super good. The vanilla character, I really it's not you wouldn't drink this and think vanilla, but that vanilla gives it the like sort of the impression of like a baked good. You know, where it's not super vanilla forward. The ginger, I think, is great. That little bit of orange from the zest, it's super, super well balanced. The color, I kind of like the color for it being a gingerbread wit. I mean, it's not that sort of pale yellow like a typical wit would be, but I don't think it's off at all. I mean, the honey malt, I think, kind of did what you wanted it to do too, and that whole make this taste like a cookie kind of deal.
Josh, do you get the clovey character of the yeast?
Yeah, for sure. Yep. I mean,
Yeah, I think I do too.
not a ton of banana. You know, sometimes those will skew a little bit more banana, but I don't, and that may just be hidden underneath the ginger and the orange, but.
Yeah, I fermented at a specific temperature that would inhibit banana and promote clove.
Ah, cool. I was going to ask you what temp you were shooting for.
I mean, my notes say 68. So I went on a, you know, you can go a little higher on that yeast, right? You can go up, I think, up to like 80 if you wanted to. But I think if you go too high, you start to get the banana bubblegum sort of esters. So subduing it a little bit, you know, fermenting it, I wouldn't say it's cold, but fermenting it on the, like below 70, I think, helped it retain the clove character. But I actually want it more ginger. I think I could use a little bit more bite, you know, but
Kind of
I think it should.
the spicy ginger versus sort of the, I'm not sure what the alternative is, but whatever this is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a good thing that you didn't get the banana, because that would have taken it. It still might have been delicious, but it would have taken it a different place.
Yeah, and it does smell like Christmas. And when I was brewing it, I was like, holy crap, it smells like I want to say, did I throw rosemary? I thought I wanted to do like a Christmas tree, but it wasn't that. It was like it's hard to, I guess it's like, yeah, they're not a gingerbread house or a gingerbread cookie. I don't eat a ton of them, but it just had this like Christmas candle aroma.
Yeah, you can see that.
It was really strong. The orange peel, fresh, like when I transferred it to the fermenter, and as it was sort of fermenting, I would just kind of sniff it, as you do, you know, you sniff your fermenters. I just smelled orange peel. It was like so much orange peel. I was like, cool, this is, I mean, you know, if I make another Belgian wit, I think I want to go pretty heavy on the orange zest. I thought that was really cool. But I think it's now that it's been almost like a month, it's sort of subdued a little bit. The orange kind of took a back seat, I think. But maybe I could be wrong there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this evolves over time. Because I do think the spices, you know, and maybe the fruit flavors as well will fade over time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, I don't have any, I'm not going to have any problem at all drinking a full pint of this. This is really good.
Any off flavors that you detect?
No.
I don't think so at all. No.
Mm-mm. No, okay. I don't think there's anything that I would pick on this beer. Mm. The carbonation is good. I think the mouthfeel is appropriate for the style and balances well with the, you know, the spicy, fruity flavors. You know, the yeast character really complements what's going on. It's definitely a holiday beer. You know, it's definitely a Christmas slash winter slash holiday beer. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it. I mean, this kind of beer is not one that you would want to have like two or three in a row.
No,
it's 6%. So it's, I mean, it's high for a wit.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
But I think it's not supposed to be that, you know, it's supposed to be something special, you know, like the Anchor holiday beer used to be, you know, something that you look forward to and like, oh yeah, this is, you know, this is really fun. It's fun.
Yeah. It was fun.
Is there anything that you would do differently?
So at first I was disappointed with the color. You know, and I think, Josh, I now agree, you know, that it I'd rather it this than a light. I think it would almost like not compute if it was a lighter yellow.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree.
Yeah. So it actually looks more like the color of gingerbread, if you will, you know, than if it was just like a, you know, cloudy, you know, straw yellow.
Mm hmm.
I'm glad that I added the last bit of like cinnamon and vanilla to the keg, but I think I would have preferred to have added it to the kettle. So I would have gone a little bit heavier on cinnamon, and I probably would have, so I used cinnamon sticks and I used an entire bag of it or an entire thing of it. But I think I would have like broken it up a little bit, had some more surface area, maybe, or even add it more. I thought I could have used a lot more. I thought I could use more ginger. So maybe in the future I would not do the ginger knobs, but maybe grate it ginger instead, like I did with the orange zest. And yeah. And then I think with the vanilla beans, so ultimately there's two vanilla beans in here. I probably could have even like shredded that a little bit more to kind of get more contact areas. So what I did with the vanilla beans was I just cut it in half horizontally and then split them vertically. And I didn't scrape any of the seeds out. I just kind of left it just cut sort of in vertically. So I maybe would have like made some sort of slurry or something that would have been a little bit better for it and maybe steeped it longer. Because I don't think I steeped it very long. I think I only steeped it for like 10, 15 minutes. Probably could have gone 30, you know? And I steeped it at a lower temp, I think, at like 180. So maybe I just would have steeped it at, you know, flame out, just whatever that was, 200.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think that, yeah. I mean, that should all work. So what I'm hearing is it's too strong to drink a pint of. So.
Yep.
You're going to double down. So.
Yep. For others.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Okay. You know, it's like go big or go home kind of vibe.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, it's delicious. Congratulations. Thank you. I think it's a success.
Great.
Yeah. Very good.
There's plenty more where it came from.
It's time to jump into Foamy February with great deals on gear and ingredients from our friends and sponsors Desiree and Dave from HighGravityBrew.com. First off, it's been a while since I bragged on my Warthog electric brewing system from High Gravity. It sure has taken the pain out of propane. I used it to brew the extract beer that we're about to design here on this show, and my whole brew day was about an hour and a half. Now that's a short boil time. You know, that's not including setup and cleanup. But anyway, It's a short boil time, but going from 49 degrees Fahrenheit to 150 Fahrenheit was around 15 minutes. I have the 240-volt brew-in-a-bag setup, but you can also find Warthog 2 and 3 vessel systems on highgravitybrew.com and even upgrade into spike vessels if you're fancy and feel like doing that. Use the code EBC75BB, that's EBC75BB, to save $75 off your Warthog purchase. And separately, you can use the code BB10, that's BB10, to save 10% off beer ingredients at highgravitybrew.com. Now, those can't work together on the same session, but that's 10% off everything under the beer ingredients menu, except for, it turns out, the Build Your Own Beer page. But you can buy everything separately and put it all together. Put in the code BB10, that's BB10, that's two better than BB8, to save 10% off beer ingredients on highgravitybrew.com. So jump into foamy February and get back to brewing on highgravitybrew.com. So, Josh, how's at Gambit Brewing Company in St. Paul, Minnesota, how's Dry January treating you?
I'll be perfectly honest. I'm not the biggest fan of the Dry January concept, but we do quite a bit of non-alcoholic stuff. We can do all of our house-made seltzers, NA. I carry a bunch of NA beers, too, from, you know, Athletic Brewing Company and some local places, and I've just started to dabble with doing some NA beers of our own. So we're trying to make the best of it, but, you know, obviously I'd rather people just come and have a pint after work, but.
Well, and here we are, we're recording on January 12th. So it's almost half over. Steve said, you know, this just gives you an opportunity to get ready for frosty February. No. Foamy February. So,
ooh, foamy, yeah. I like that.
So foamy February to make up for. No, I think I've been in contact with a couple of people who are like, yeah, I'm doing the dry January, trying to step back and, you know, take a look at my life. And that's right. Great. You know, that's great. It's good to take advantage of any opportunity to have a little self-reflection. But, you know, we don't all have to do it all at once. for the sake of the brewing industry, we can space it out. Oh. So you guys, I have set a challenge for you. Here it is January, and I'm thinking, you know, cutting down calories and all that. But I still want, you know, something delicious to drink. So I was thinking, number one, I've been itching to do an extract beer ever since Steve and I put together our little DVD commentary of the Introduction to Extract Homebrewing DVD.
Yeah.
So one fun thing about extract is that you don't have to boil for an entire hour. You know, you don't have to with all grain either. But way back in the day, I started doing these little 15-minute, you know, pale ales where I would only boil for 15 minutes. And my base was usually, for a 5-gallon batch, 6 pounds of light dry malt extract or Pilsen light dry malt extract, and then steeping a pound of 60 Lovibond crystal, you know, as the water, you know, came up to temperature. So then with the short boil, I discovered that if you double the amount of hops that you would normally for a 60-minute boil, you would, you know, according to the formulas in Ray Daniels' book, Designing Great Beers, you would still get the same IBU level, but then you would get an increased, you know, hoppiness. And then, of course, you can always add hops at the end of the boil or dry hop as well. But then I thought, you know, I want to do one of those, but what if I also integrate the concept of either a Radler or a Shandy? And I love Fresca. I don't know if you guys have had Fresca in the past decade, but it's a grapefruit soda. So it's got a really nice, you know, it's only like 1% fruit juice, but it's got this nice, you know, refreshing grapefruit flavor, which I thought would pair well with, you know, American hops. So my challenge to y'all is to help me to design a beer that would go, that would drink good on its own as a nice hoppy, you know, American either pale ale or IPA. And then if you poured, you know, some Fresca in there, you know, you get lower alcohol, you get lower calories. But with that, you know, the grapefruit character of the soft drink, the, then you would still get a nice, you know, West Coasty flavored beverage. So what do you think of the concept, first of all?
Well, to me, it sounds like it's perfect for your moist January concept. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had a lot of Fresca in my life, but I used to drink a ton of this soda that was called Citra. Do you remember it?
Uh-uh.
No, so I don't either.
Is that a
all
regional?
Right, so I had to just look it up.
Is it a regional thing?
No. It was made by Coca-Cola, and I had to just look it up right now because I'm like, I remember it being called Citra, but that can't be right. That's too on the nose. And then, yes, it was called Citra, and it was available from 1996 to 2004.
Oh.
And it's a caffeine-free, grapefruit-flavored soft drink, and it was like Fresca, but sweeter.
Hmm.
Huh.
I wish I could get my hands on some.
It'd be old
like,
by
similar
now.
Similar to Squirt, like I drink Squirt on occasion, which is grapefruit soda, but it's definitely sweeter than Fresca.
Oh, this says, I don't know if this is related, but it says it was eventually rebranded under Fanta as Fanta Citrus.
Oh.
So it apparently still does exist, just under a different name. But Squirt, no. What am I thinking of? I do remember Squirt.
Was Squirt, you know, it's funny that, you know, one had Dr. Pepper, the other had Mr. Pibb, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's Squirt?
Yeah, one had Mountain Dew, the other had Sierra Mist.
Sierra Mist, yeah.
And right. I don't know who it was. It you that I was talking to that turned the light on in my head that Sierra is a mountain and Mist is a kind of like a dew. So it's a lot more on the nose than I thought it was.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. You could, in theory, I guess you could flavor. You could use different flavors of soft drink to put in this.
Sure.
So
are you planning on putting a grapefruit juice soda?
Yeah, I think you do it at serving time. I think
so. You don't put it in the keg,
right? So if you want a full strength, you know, pale ale or IPA, you just get that out of the keg. If not, you know, you fill your pint glass halfway up and or whatever percentage you want, and then fill the rest up with Fresca or Squirt or Citrus Fanta.
So you plan on using a clear, like not a traditional like Italian grapefruit soda where it's like full grapefruit juice that's carbonated.
Well, Fresca is basically a grapefruit seltzer.
Right.
So it's clear.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's an issue or not.
It is sweet. Yeah, is it sugar?
It's artificially sweetened. There's no calories. It's got aspartame or whatever the but it's not super sweet though.
Okay.
And I guess we should define what a Radler and a Shandy are. Radler comes from Germany, and it can have lemon and or other flavors. And the Shandy comes from the UK and is mostly just lemon or lemonade, or maybe ginger beer. So it's, and the base beer is usually like a blonde lager or maybe a Hefeweizen. So since ironically, the German, example is more loosely defined, I thought maybe, you know, maybe we'll have a Fresca Radler. Or we can combine them both, as we were talking beforehand, and call it a Chandler. So what do you think? I mean, what do you think about? Am I? I mean, I'm flexible on the malt bill, But six pounds of light dry malt extract and, you know, 1 pound of 60 Lovibond crystal will get you around 1055, you know, 1050, 1055. You know, so it's probably more in the pale ale category than the IPA category. But, you know, I'm wide open as far as, you know, the hopping strategy. Do you want to open your app, Matt?
Yes, I do. So, I have it open.
So, you know, like I said, you know, a 15 minute boil, you know, so you're limited there. That causes you to add more hops for bittering than you normally would. But that's what we want. We want more hop flavor. Mm-hmm.
For sure, yeah.
So, I mean, the most likely candidate would be, you know, something like Cascade or Centennial, you know, for the grapefruitedness.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm open to suggestions. What do y'all think?
So you're saying 15-minute boil, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that came to my mind wasn't so much an American hop, but there's one from New Zealand called Waiiti that gives you like a real lime zest kind of honeydew melon character that I've made some just plain pale ales with before and really, really liked it. Right away, I thought those flavors might all be kind of work well together, and maybe it's not so grapefruit to grapefruit on the nose.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so something complementary, not necessarily the same.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see how those two kind of play together.
Yeah, I guess my thing is, do we want to overdo the grapefruit, or like, where do we want the grapefruit flavor to come from? Do we want it to come from the Fresca, or do we want it to come from the beer?
Well, I think that if we just rely on the Fresca, it's not going to have, you know,
can be grapefruity enough.
Combating with, yeah, the malt character and the, you know, it might get overshadowed.
I mean, obviously, I go to Centennial and Cascade and maybe even Citra and Simcoe, maybe.
Well, Simcoe could be a fun one too, yeah.
Amarillo also.
Should we try like a fruit salad approach, or should we like concentrate on, you know, just a couple of varieties?
Well, yeah, my thought was, could we do something that was more on the like New England pale side of things, because to me, if you're not using like true grapefruit soda, meaning like, you know, if you go to, I'm just thinking of this Italian soda that looks like ruby red grapefruit, you know, like mm-hmm. It's cloudy, it's red or it's pink, and you know, it's probably really, really bitter with grapefruit, and like that to me would add a lot of body and stuff, where with Fresca it's thin, right? From what I can remember, it's not super grapefruity, it's just like a hint of grape. It's almost, yeah, you're right, it's almost like grapefruit LaCroix or pamplemousse or whatever they call it, right? So you'd want the beer to have all the backbone of the grapefruit, and then use the Fresca to sort of just cut it so that it's low alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm. And lower calorie.
And lower calorie. So maybe, you know, if we wanted to, you know, add a little bit of like wheat malt, or sorry, like flaked wheat or flaked oats or wheat malt even, to the steeping along with the 60 Lovibond crystal, that might help give it a little bit more body to support the, you know, grapefruitiness.
And that's not going to need any conversion?
I mean, no, I think it would be better if it didn't, no.
Yeah, they're probably right, yeah.
Okay, all right.
You know, something else that Matt said earlier about when he zested all the oranges, I have a good friend, Brock Selleck, that is a way better homebrewer than he would ever admit to. But he's made saisons for years where he just piles zest at the end of the boil, and they're great. And I wonder if you could do something similar, like if, say, you used a Simcoe, but then also at flame out, hit it with grapefruit zest. and kind of drive some of your grapefruit that way.
Yeah, I had the same thought earlier. Because I don't see grapefruit zest being used very often in cooking. And obviously you get a ton of zest from a grapefruit because it's way bigger. So you probably only need two or three. You know, is it worth, if you're going to zest the grapefruit, why not throw the juice in too?
Yeah, because otherwise I'll just have a bunch of naked grapefruits around the house. And,
Right. Then you're going to have to sprinkle sugar on them. And
they're kind of more problem than they're worth.
So, yeah, do a couple. I would say like two big, nice ruby red grapefruits. Zest them, split them, juice them, and throw them in.
Sounds
Maybe even throw the whole, like not even juice them, but just like
just
throw them
pour
in,
just
pith and everything.
I've done that before it with I think it was a blood orange whip
Yeah.
that just chopped them up, you know, quartered or eighth them and threw them straight into the fermenter and it came out great.
Yeah, because that pithiness will help with the, you know, bitterness a little bit, so we don't have to rely so much on the.
It's definitely a different character you get with that pith in the fermenter. Some of because some of that character definitely comes out, but almost in a good way.
So it's not too astringent.
With the blood oranges, it wasn't. Grapefruits might be a little more bitter, but maybe you don't do all of them. Maybe it's just, you know, you zest three and you throw one in the fermenter and see what happens. You could
Oh,
always hit
I was
it
just
with
thinking throwing
more.
in a flame out so that way you're not, it's not sitting on the pith that long.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even the zest that I did, I didn't put the zest in the fermenter. The zest that I did was just in the steep.
So how hard are the YET?
Yeah.
Because I'm not seeing them on highgravitybrew.com. So I'm just wondering if they're, you know, how, I guess I could search other places. I'd kind of like to stay at home, but
For sure.
you don't want to fly to New Zealand?
Well, I would. I
Yeah,
have.
now's the time to get it. Now's the time for harvest.
It's a beautiful place, wonderful people. So, or do we want to go with the YET, or do we want to go with something that's more domestic and available? Hint, hint.
Probably better. I mean, it's probably easier to do. Yeah, for sure. But then I think Simcoe might be a good option there.
Yeah, and if you want it, I probably wouldn't do Cascade. If you wanted to, I would do Centennial if anything, because you know you just get a little bit more character. A little goes a long way. I'm trying to decide. I guess at first it's like, do we want what kind of IBUs do we want in like a 60-minute or I guess a 15-minute? Well, all right, well, how does that change the isomerization when you're only doing it for 15 minutes?
Well, according to the Daniels formula, it cuts it in half.
Okay.
And the brewing software should probably take care of that.
Yeah. So I would say, like, what's your base IBU level? So I would say not go any higher than maybe 20. So stick somewhere between 10 and 20 just to kind of get a base level bitterness. You don't have to do anything. You could do a clean bitter, or you could do, you know, like a cheaper hop that's like if you had Cascade or if you had Centennial or something. And then maybe just, you know, once the 15-minute boil was over, then start dumping in, you know, a ton of like aroma hops and let it steep along with the grapefruit zest, the grapefruit itself, the grapefruit juice, and just kind of like, you know, make a grapefruit bomb at the end.
Well, I think that the benefit of the short boil is that you do get some hop character. You know, the first one that I did was with Amarillo. You know, it was a 15-minute Amarillo ale that I did several times. You know, and that was a delicious beer. And I didn't even dry hop it. So, you know, it was just like I think it was maybe, you know, 2 ounces of Amarillo at you know, 15 minutes, and then you know, maybe a couple, three at the end of the boil.
Let me ask this question. I think this might help us dictate what to do.
Okay.
You're doing a, like essentially an easier beer. So your process is a bit easier.
Right.
And it's easier drinking. Right. So the theme here is make it easy. Right.
Yes.
If I'm following. So we're not talking about dry hopping, right? We're just going to, because dry hopping just adds a level of complexity.
Yeah, it could.
But that's what I'm asking is, let's work back, maybe work backwards. Like, do you want to dry hop or not? And if the answer is no, then it's like, well, that will change, I think, how we approach the hops in the kettle.
Let's just to be easy, let's say no.
Okay, cool. I would probably just do, a 15-minute or a 15-minute addition, I guess, like at the beginning of the boil, and then dump a bunch of, you know, C hops and S hops in at the end, along with the grapefruit zest and juice.
Do I do a lower temperature hop stand?
No.
No.
Make it easy.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
True.
Was that a skeptical noise, Josh?
No, I kind of agree. I mean, if we're shooting easy, then you don't have to worry about chilling. Well, it depends on your system, I guess, and how easy it is to knock something down to 180. But
in the winter,
something to think about and track.
It's the winter time, so it'd be pretty easy to.
Oh, that's true.
Well,
it might be hard not to knock it down too much. In fact,
this was related but unrelated. I was reading Scott Janisch's book last night. Not in preparation for this, but it did. There was one thing I highlighted in the book a while back when I first got it, and I reread it, and I was like, I forgot I highlighted that section, which was lower temperature addition. So like dropping it down to 180 promotes, I think, a more like woodsy character from the hops, whereas the higher the temperature, the more citrusy you get.
Oh, okay. Well, that answers that.
I mean, that was – I don't have the book in front of me. Unfortunately, it's upstairs next to my nightstand. You know, that's how I go to bed. just dreaming about beer. So, yeah, that's – I reread that. I was like, oh, man, because I always drop the temperature whenever I do, you know, sort of late hop additions like that. But, you know, recently I have a beer going right now where I didn't do that. And it smells way more citrusy in the fermenter right now than I've ever had. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to that.
Okay. So let's put a tack in the board. What's our bittering, quote unquote, bittering hop for 15 minutes? Just go with Cascade?
Yeah, kind of. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right. Keep it simple.
And just do 1 ounce, and that'll get us to 12 IBUs.
Since our starting gravity is going to be like 1050, you know, and this is going to be a hoppy beer, do we want it to be a bit more bitter? I mean, how much bitterness are we going to get out of those, you know, like quote unquote whirlpool hops, you know, that flame out addition?
Yeah.
You'll get some, but I wouldn't think it'd be a ton. But I wonder how much bitterness you'll pull out of grapefruit zest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you could still bump up your 15 minute to
total, yeah,
30,
because
30 IBUs or so, and then kind of rely on the flame out stuff to get you closer to that like 40 ish.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Because
so
yeah,
I'm gonna bump it up to 2.5 ounces of Cascade at about a 5.2% alpha acid. So that's gonna obviously depend on what you can get. That gets you right at 30 IBUs.
Oh, cool.
Assuming this is a 5-gallon batch or a 6-gallon
yes,
batch, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And I'll probably start with like 5, maybe 5.5 gallons of water, you know, since I'm only going to boil for 15 minutes. Or I might start with 6. I'll have to go back and look at my notes to see, you know, on those 15-minute IPAs or 15-minute yep. pale ales, you know, what I actually started with.
And you do a 1 pound of Crystal 60, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And yeah, I mean, so that gets you right in line with an American Pale Ale. Actually, all the numbers line up.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, and that should give it enough backbone to where it's not going to be like it's not going to taste, you know, weak, diluted.
And then in the, I guess, flame out edition, Do you want to do Simcoe? I think we were.
Yeah, the other half ounce of that Cascade.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want half a bag of Cascade in my freezer.
Uh-huh.
And then Simcoe and Centennial?
Yeah, I think that sounds like a good combo.
I agree. Okay.
But
how long do you plan on steeping for, like the end hops? Or are you just like throw it in at flame out and call it done?
Well, it's going to, I mean, like I say, the water temperature, you know, coming out of the hose, out of the side of the house is going to be pretty low. So, you know, it's going to be knock. If I just right at flame out, if I turn on the chiller, you know, the immersion chiller, it's going to knock down pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
So we should determine a time, a flame out rest time. You know, what do you guys think is a good time just to sit there at the end? Like 10 minutes? Is that too much?
No, I don't think it's too much. I think 10 minutes would be good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So 10-minute hop stand at the end, and then turn on the chiller. And like I say, you know, in the wintertime, it should come down pretty quickly. 2.5 ounces of Cascade at the beginning of this 15-minute boil. We do a 10-minute hop stand. At the end with 1/2 ounce of Cascade and...
I got an ounce of Simcoe and an ounce of Centennial.
Oh, okay. And then do we put the grapefruit zest and the grapefruit juice? Or do we add the grapefruit juice in the fermenter, or do we put it in the hop stand?
I don't know how much of a difference it would make.
No, yeah, I don't either. I my only fear is having the grapefruit pith sit on the beer too long.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And I also wonder if you would it be better to put the juice in the fermenter just so it doesn't get the heat? I honestly don't know.
It might volatilize some freshness out of it, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
You could is it I don't know the answer to this. Can you, when you chill and you transfer to your fermenter, can you just squeeze, can you just pour juice in there at that point?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
But then it's going to ferment.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I guess, I don't know how much sugar is in a grapefruit. It doesn't feel like a lot because everyone adds sugar to the top of it. But I'm assuming there is, and so you'll get only the bitterness. You won't get the sweetness at all from it.
Oh, interesting. So maybe we don't put the pith in there. Maybe we don't put the whole fruits. Maybe just do the zest in the flame in the flame out addition and the juice into the
juice
fermenter. And also, there's I think there medical disclaimer. That. If you do put grapefruit juice in your beer, you got to tell your friends who might be on, is it statins that grapefruit affects? So
just when you, by the way, just for my own, when you do the 60 crystal 60, do you steep that for any period of time or do you just, what do you do there?
My plan is to put it in the water cold.
Uh-huh.
And then turn on the heat. And then watch the temperature. And then when we get up to 170, yank it out.
Got it. Okay.
Because allegedly, according to the old knowledge, anything over 170, you start pulling out tannins from the...
Yeah.
I haven't done an experiment on that, but that's...
Do you want to do any flaked wheat in there?
Sure. I'll do. Okay. Yeah. I'm open.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, if you do a pound of flaked wheat with the crystal, and then do the 6 pounds of pills, and that gets you about 5% ABV with almost 53 IBUs. Obviously, that's kind of whatever because who knows about the flame out stuff. Mm-hmm. Grapefruit juice will give you a couple. I mean, it may not give you any points. Honestly, might not be enough.
Nah,
probably not.
Zest. Will certainly give you more aroma. And I think the only thing we have to talk about is yeast. And I have an idea.
Well, how's this?
Unless you have a packet.
I have two packets.
Okay.
I have two packets of, and Matt, tell me how to pronounce H-Y-G-G-E.
Hygge?
Hygge. I have two packets of the Hygge, which is a lager yeast.
Uh-huh.
But last year, Steve fermented an IPA, did an oaked IPA experiment using that yeast. And Evan from Imperial says that other people are using it for other things. So I'm just thinking of, you know, pitching that and sticking it in the basement and just, you know, we don't need any yeast character. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that should be fine. Use what you got.
That's a yeast I'm not super familiar with, so I'm curious.
Well, it's from.
Yeah, is there a related one, or is that just completely new?
Well, it's the origin is said to be Copenhagen.
Okay.
So it's a lager yeast used to ferment. I think they say on the Imperial site, hop forward pilsners. So.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think we got it. I think we have a strategy. I think we have a recipe. It sounds easy, you know, and even if I'm out in the cold, it's not going to be that bad.
No.
That's true, yeah. Limit your exposure.
Yeah, literally. Oh, well, and then I'll send you guys some when it's done.
And what are we calling it?
Mm.
Chandler?
The Chandler, yeah.
The Chandler?
Fresca Chandler. I think okay. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Surely that's been used out there somewhere. Somewhere somebody's made a Chandler.
I don't know. Well, I guess if they come after you, we can change it up, but.
Well, I'm not going to sell it, so.
Somebody's coming after you.
They can have all the profits from the sales of my Chandler. Oh, well, all right, guys. I have another beer. I have an empty keg, too, so I'm ready.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Well, excellent. Anything else for the cause? Matt Giovannisi, Swim University is your other love other than sure. Brew Cabin. People should be taking care of their hot tubs because they're probably using them more. It's hot. It's cold outside.
Yeah. Please, no drinking in the hot tub. It's dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I know you're supposed. I know people like doing it. But
no comment.
And also, if you live in the southern hemisphere and you still have your pool open, you can go to swimuniversity.com and get advice on and courses on how to take care of your pool. As well as the Swim University YouTube channel and the Brew Cabin YouTube channel. And Josh at Gambit Brewing Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. Anything else you want to plug while we're at it?
Well, it's almost we're almost through dry January. So when everybody decides they want to have a beer again, we're here for you in Lower Town. So,
mm-hmm.
And until then, you can dry January with us as well.
There you go. All right, guys. I appreciate it. This is fun again. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again to Matt and Josh. I did a Google search, and of course, there are multiple Chandlers out there. It turns out there are no original ideas anymore, apparently. And thanks to the internet, you can find that out. I haven't tried the beer with Fresca yet, just straight out of the tap. You know, just a little sample, just to see how it's going. But I have high hopes. I think it's going to be good. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form at basicbrewing.com. Please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Till then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.